Let's rip the Band-Aid off here, Dr. Sutcliffe. Why the change in how Public Health Sudbury and District is reporting cases?
Right. So last Friday, we made the decision, after careful consideration about privacy issues, to release only for individual cases, to not release information about the gender of the case or the age range. And this came out of a great concern for privacy, as we know that schools will now be putting on their websites confirmed cases. So we wanted to really limit the chances of individuals who are positive for COVID being identifiable. Extremely important to do that to protect privacy.
But if schools are releasing information, then you would know what school it is. You guys have a pretty vague under 19 protocol.
So under 19 for sure would identify that it's a student versus a staff member. And the other thing I would say is we are under legislation in public health, what's called health information custodians. And so I have a legal duty to protect privacy unless there's a public safety reason not to do so. It really is a fundamental ethical and legal right that people have. So somebody who's positive for COVID-19 needs to know that their information is protected, that they can trust public health, that they can share information with us, so that we can continue to protect the community.
Are other health units in Ontario following the same privacy protocol, Dr. Sutcliffe?
Yes, you raise a really good point. So I can tell you it's under active discussion with the medical officers of health and the directors of education across the province as we try to navigate what is really new territory, with really recognizing that we're trying to balance the trust that individuals have in public health and the system and our need to protect public safety. So absolutely, it's front of mind. And various organizations are, you know, in the midst of landing in different places as it relates to this, but we absolutely need to have full and transparent dialogue about this.
Why release anything then?
Right. So there's a big public interest in not knowing about numbers of cases, as we know. One thing that we are continuing to do in our reports, our summary reports, our epidemiology reports on cases, is to continue to share information so that we understand trends. So trends in ages, trends in gender, trends in location and risk factors, because it's critically important that we have that information on a group or aggregate level so that we can see what is happening and understand how we need to course correct as need be.
But if we're not, if you're not releasing the genders or ages of the outbreaks, and but you are in the trends report?
That's right. So for individuals, so if we report on a case and an individual, we will no longer report on their age or on their gender. However, three times a week currently we release detailed epi summary. So where we have enough cases, we will report overall about the numbers of cases in the different age groups and by sex and other information. So that is trend information for groups, aggregates over time, so we can understand. But for actual individuals where there is a risk of that person being identifiable, you know, if any of us was diagnosed with COVID-19, that is our information, and we can choose if we release that ourselves, but it should not be another organization that has access to that information that is making that publicly available.
So would you release a trend report based on, you know, our latest COVID cases, the five of them? Is that enough, or is that still, you know, could identify them?
That's right. And so generally the number is five in terms of groupings where the standard is that release of information would not reveal the identity and breach privacy. So in general, that's the case. We are looking at those rules for ourselves right now, and in most circumstances, that would be the case for us.
Dr. Sutcliffe, are we at the point right now where we don't go to school or work or daycare if we have a runny nose, if we've got allergy symptoms or symptoms of the common cold? Like, I'm not really sure. Like, I had itchy eyes because of allergies, but I didn't really know they were allergies. Do I come to work or do I stay home?
Right. So in general, right now, we need to set the bar really low. That if we are feeling unwell, and even if it's something that's familiar to us, we should stay home. We should stay home, consider testing, or if it's something that we know that we've seen many times, we get that all the time, you know, this time of the year, at least stay home until that resolves. The other thing is there is the self-assessment app on the Ministry of Health website that will help people walk through about whether the recommendation is to be tested or not. But in general, stay home. This virus, as we know, has really shows itself up and many, a huge range of symptoms, and that's why it's so difficult. Even the mild cases can be COVID and can be infectious. So when in doubt, stay home.
What's the status of saliva testing? I was reading about that just today versus the current like deep nasal swab.
Right. And so everybody is really anxious to have a faster test, a more accessible test. And nothing has been approved yet for use in Canada or in Ontario. But lots of interest in us having better access. We've heard stories about concerns about access to testing, the wait times for testing. If you're the parent of a child who is home because they're ill, you want them tested. You want to understand very quickly whether they have COVID or not and the implications. I get that. So the more that we can access the current testing that we have or new ways of testing is absolutely front of mind for researchers and developers, but we're not there yet.
I just saw the Windsor Regional Hospital received government approval for a one-hour turnaround machine, the Gen Expert System machine.
That's for the nasal swab?
Yeah, and that's been approved
wow.
by the government.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure. You will certainly see that in the media and other reports about long lineups and the need for access to testing. It is front of mind.
Every kid I know, including my kids who are in their 20s, is there going to be trick-or-treating for Halloween this year? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I very much err on the side of caution, and the kids who want to go trick-or-treating right now won't be happy to hear that. But I do think that we need to assess the risk. So I get it. Kids want to go out. Kids are also in school. So the question is, how could that be done safely? I do understand there are provincial level discussions and considerations about public health measures. How can trick-or-treating be done safely? So the short answer is we need to stay tuned. The other thing is that it's more than a month away. And as we know with COVID, lots can happen in a month. So we need to keep our eye on this and make decisions closer to that time.
Dr. Sutcliffe, stay well. Thank you so much for your time today. As always, we appreciate all the information you've given us today.
Thank you very much. Stay healthy.